Hello and welcome to the Pondering Scripture podcast, where we'll open God's Word and let Him guide our lives. I'm your host, Jeremiah Cox.
Hello and welcome again to the Pondering Scripture podcast. This episode will conclude our study of Like a Little Child that we're participating in between James chapter 4 and James chapter 5. So, Lord willing, next week we're going to start studying James chapter 5, and after a few more episodes at that start of the chapter, we'll conclude with James, and we'll start thinking about what we want to study next. So tune in for that. We've been studying about what Jesus talked about in Matthew the 18th chapter when his disciples asked the question, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And so his primary focus was humility, as he used a little child to explain that the very entrance into the kingdom is impossible without becoming like this little child, and that the one who becomes like this child in humility, who humbles himself and becomes like this little child, is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. We noted that along in that context is this understanding of the purity of children and the fact that we're to be pure before God as children of God, that is, separate from sin. We noted that children have this ability to love unconditionally, especially their parents, and that we should have that love not only for God, but we're indebted to love each other. And sometimes it's difficult to love others, especially our enemies, but we're even called to love them in Matthew 5. And sometimes, for some reason, we find it difficult to even love those who are of the household of faith, and that's really shameful, because when we obeyed the truth, we came into the love of the brethren. So we're to love each other, and that's how we maintain the purity of the church and the unity of the body. I want us to consider a few more characteristics of children that we can learn from, things that we've got to return to. Again, we mentioned in the first episode of this series that when we become adults, not even just adults, when we get to the age of accountability, we start getting older. When that exactly happens, I don't know. But there comes a point in time where we're so aware of the world now and aware of ourselves that we stop acting in the wonderful, lovable qualities that little children possess. And we start to be selfish and prideful and arrogant and self-serving and all of those kinds of things. So we need to kind of return to what we were before. There are things we need to grow out of, no doubt. But there are some things that we grow out of that then we need to return to. And we've discussed a few. Consider a few more. Consider that children have this eagerness for growth and approval. Now, obviously, as they're small, like my daughter Collins Louise, they don't necessarily have an eagerness for growth. They just grow. That's just what happens. But then as they get a little older, and I see this more so in my nieces and nephews, they want to grow. They want to get better. They want to be big boys and big girls and do things that they weren't able to do before. And you see that when a little child even starts to walk. They don't want to crawl anymore. Some of them do, but they don't want to be picked up anymore. For sure. They want to crawl around, or they want to walk around. They want to do it on their own. They want to grow. And in that growth, they seek approval from everyone, really, but especially their parents. They long for that approval. They want to make their parents proud. And you know, as children of God, we're called to constant growth. And that's a constant growth so that we can be approved before God. We want the approval of our Father. And it's sad that we sometimes miss this point and we leave this very fundamental quality that children possess, the need to grow, the need to eat, the need for approval from their parents. We've always got to remember that we're children of God. And that description is there for a reason. God is spirit, and so he's not by any means a physical father, but that is imagery we can understand intimately. And so he's called our Father and we're called his children. And that resonates with us. And we need to always remember that we're his children. We need to be growing. And we always need to be growing with the goal of being approved of God. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 1, Peter writes, "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. And indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." I actually want to point out firstly what is in verse 3. He says, "If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." One of the reasons why sometimes we fail to grow as we should is because we have been distracted with worldly things. And all of a sudden, we don't quite have the taste for spiritual things that we once did. We need to constantly feed that hunger, feed that taste for spiritual things. The Lord is so gracious to us. He has taken our sins away. He's added us to his body, his family. He has given us the things that we need spiritually and physically, and that's a wonderful thing. Why won't we continue to search those things and grow in the spiritual truth? And that's the point Peter's making. Taste how gracious the Lord is, and don't set that down on the table. Keep on drinking from it. Always pursue that. As newborn babes, just like a newborn babe is constantly in need of eating. Our daughter, Zoe, and our daughter, Collins, Louise, is a newborn, of course, so she's needing to eat basically every 2 hours, and we feed her and feed her and feed her, and it's all the time that she's eating, and you set her down, and before you know it, it's time to feed her again, and she needs that milk for her growth. It is an absolute necessity. And we would never, ever even think about going without feeding her. It wouldn't work. We love her, so we feed her. And she's growing. And that's how we are as Christians. We need that milk. We need the word. There's no other way to grow. There's no other thing that Collins can take into her body right now that would be sufficient sustenance other than, of course, baby formula, but she needs milk or a milk substitute. She can't find sustenance any other place. And we can't find sustenance any other place. If we're going to grow, we don't grow by just coming to church. We don't grow just by walking into the building. We grow by a daily consumption of spiritual food and nutrition. We need to long for that growth. We need to be eager about becoming mature in Christ. In Hebrews, the 5th chapter, the Hebrew writer admonished the brethren. Verse 12, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." It's shameful to be in that position. And there's too many Christians that are. To where they've been Christians for a long time, years and years and years, and they don't know the Word of God. And because they don't know the Word of God, they're not acting the way they should be acting as mature Christians, because they're not mature Christians. And if you had someone ask them some fundamental questions about the gospel in the world, they feel ill-equipped to answer those questions, and the only reason is because they themselves have not been growing, and they need those questions answered for themselves. That's exactly what the Hebrew writer is saying in Hebrews 4 and verses 12 through 14. It's shameful. We need to be growing. In chapter 6 and verse 1, he says, "Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works of faith toward God," so on and so forth, these fundamental principles of Christ. Go on to perfection. We would never think it normal for a little child to never progress to solid food. We're weaned, and we need to be weaned spiritually as well and get on to more mature things. And we need to do that as we seek the approval of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, Paul writes, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." If we want to be approved of God, we've got to grow. And if we're going to grow, we need to get in the Word. You know, also children display a dependency and trust in their lives. They can't do anything themselves. Where's their next meal coming from? Where do they get the clothes on their back? Where do they find solace and protection? They can't provide for themselves. They are fully dependent. And this is one of those things, when we grow up and we gain independence from mom and dad, we leave our mother and father and then eventually cleave to our wife or our husband, our spouse. All of a sudden, we have this ability to provide for ourselves, and there's a great danger and a temptation the devil throws our way to think of ourselves as independent truly, when in reality we're not. We may be checking the independence box on some kind of survey we're filling out where we're not dependents, we are our own providers. But that's not the case as Christians. We fully depend on God, and we need to trust in Him with that, just as a child trusts in his parents because they depend on their parents. In Romans 3 and verse 21, we see where that dependence starts. When about the gospel of Christ, Paul writes, "The righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." All that does is demonstrate our dependency upon God in Christ. He illustrated that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and He showed that by quoting some parts of the old law which are addressed to the Jews. And so it says that there is none righteous, no, not one. And that's talking about the Jewish people after He'd established that the Gentiles were sinners. And so we are fully dependent. We can't be righteous in and of ourselves. That righteousness comes through faith in the propitiation in Christ's blood. And that's faith, not just believing, but a full trust demonstrated through obedience. And so we depend on God for taking our sins away and making us righteous. That only comes through the blood of Christ. And because we depend on that, we trust in that. Now, that is the foundation of our faith. And if that's the foundation of our faith, then who are we to grow out of that? We should always understand we depend on God and therefore trust in Him. Jeremiah 10:23 says, "O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps." Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." And Psalm 119 and verse 5 shows the cure or the solution. "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." We need and depend on God spiritually. If we're to find our way in this world as members of the church, we depend on Him to show us that way. That's the only way. But also, we depend on God physically. Spiritually, sure, definitely. But also physically. That's something we need to never forget. We may go to work, earn our money, and pay for our food and our clothes and our mortgage and all of those things. But realize all of that truly comes from God. James 1:17 says, "Every good gift and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." If you have something good, it's a blessing from God, and we need to understand that. And when we understand that, we understand our dependence upon God. And if we understand our dependence upon God, then what choice do we have but to trust in Him? We need to trust in God to keep us spiritually upright. We need to trust in God to provide for our needs physically. Consider Jude 24, when Jude says that in his doxology, "Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. Amen." Who's able to keep you from stumbling and present you faultless? God is. Not yourself, God is. Now, he's only going to do that through your compliance with his will, but God is able to keep you from stumbling and present you faultless. You cannot get to heaven by yourself. It's only through the word of God. Trust in him. Follow him always. He's able to keep us to the end. And he's able to provide for us physically as well. In Matthew 6, in verse 33, we're to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to us. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its trouble. Have you ever been worried about where you're going to receive your next meal and how you're going to pay the bills next month, what you're going to do for this or that? Well, don't worry if you're a child of God. Trust in him. And that trust is not idle. It's going to manifest itself in obedience, and therefore you're going to have to get to work. You're going to have to do some things, but never lose your trust in God. And lastly, children are content. It amazes me how content children can be. That doesn't mean that they're never discontent, but it's interesting that when they are not content, it really manifests their contentment all the more. And that's kind of a paradox, I know, seems to be contradictory, but I'll explain. Why is my daughter sometimes not content? Right now, I hear her crying. Maybe you do too. I don't know. Why is it that sometimes she's not content? Well, it's not because she wants a better car. It's not because she wants cuter clothes. It's not because she's looked at someone else and what they have and she's envied it and she's not content anymore. She's not content right now and she's crying because probably she needs to be changed, or maybe she's tired and fussy, or maybe she wants to eat. Simple, simple things, bare necessities. She's truly content all the time, as are children. Sometimes children will receive a great present which costs quite a bit of money, and they'll take that present out of the box, set it aside, and play with the box. Doesn't take much for a child to be content. And they impress us with that ability to be happy and content with those things that we deem simple and insignificant. And so we need to be content as well. There's a danger with discontentment. In Matthew 6 and verse 24, Jesus says, "No one can serve two masters, for either you will hate the one and love the other, or else you will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon." And so if we're not content with what we have and we start working for other things and putting our mind on those things and our vision becomes split, then we're going to put our relationship with God in jeopardy, because discontentment will lead to sin. In Hebrews, the 13th chapter in verse 5, the Hebrew writer says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.' So we may boldly say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?'" If we are not content, then we will eventually be covetous. Contentment is a must. And here's the key to contentment. The Apostle Paul in Philippians 4 and verse 10 says, "I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to abound. I have learned both to be full and to be hungry. I have both learned to be abound and to suffer need." He says in verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." That's the key. If we set our hope in Christ and we put our trust in Christ, then contentment will be the name of our life. That's what we're going to be. How other way could it be? What other result could we get from trusting in Christ? He gives us everything we need. Everything we could ever ask for is offered in Christ. And if we have the hope of heaven and that incorruptible crown of life doesn't fade away, what else do we need? We should therefore, in this life, until we get to that point of obtaining that crown, be content with the bare necessities. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6, The Apostle Paul writes, "Now godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content." Godliness with contentment is great gain. We simply long to be pleasing to God so that we can be right before Him and be in heaven with Him for eternity. And if that is the case, then we'll be content. And that's how we need to live our lives. We can learn a lot from children. I guarantee you there are more things that you've probably thought of if you're listening and that I could think of, but I think these will suffice for the time being. Let's learn from children. If you have children, try to learn from them. If you have children in your life, period, try to learn from them. Let's think about how wonderful children are and how we're called to be like them according to the instructions of our Lord. As I mentioned, next episode we'll begin James chapter 5, and I hope that this study was beneficial to you. I hope that the study of James has been beneficial to you, and I hope that that continues to be the case in the last chapter of James chapter 5, and encourage you to listen in next week, Lord willing. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Pondering Scripture. It may be that you have some questions or comments. If so, don't hesitate to email me at jeremiahstancox@gmail.com. I hope you have a blessed day.